Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at 8:05 Central to Bible Crossfire. The program that precedes this program on Family Talk Channel 131 is called 20-Minute Bible Studies and is done by Andy Balaa and Jordan Pine. Now, I'm sure Andy and Jordan are nice enough guys, but they teach a false doctrine that salvation comes at the point of faith. To make sure I represent them correctly, I pulled the following exact quote from their statement of belief off their website, MOTK.org. Here's what they say, quote, "A person is saved at the moment he or she believes." Now, we can tell from many passages that a person is not saved at the moment he or she believes. For example, Mark 16:16a reads, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Belief by itself is not enough. It takes submission to baptism also. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Let's consider at this time three more passages that specifically teach a sinner is not saved at the point of faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 reads this way, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, calling on the name of the Lord is obviously necessary to salvation. Now let's continue reading at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Do you see how this passage makes it clear that one can't call on the name of the Lord until after they believe? It says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So you can't call on the name of the Lord until after you believe. And since verse 13 makes this calling on God necessary to salvation, and verse 13 says we have to believe first before we call, then that proves one is not saved until after they believe, when they call upon the name of the Lord. See what I mean? Calling upon the name of the Lord is required for salvation. Romans 10:13, verse 14 makes it clear that you can't call upon the name of the Lord until after you believe. You got to believe first. Therefore, that proves you're not saved until sometime after you believe, when you call upon the name of the Lord. But what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Let me give the number again if you have a Bible question or comment. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Many think it just means we ask God to save us, verbally or in prayer. It does in a sense, but not verbally. Instead, you ask God to save you with your obedience. We call on God to save us by doing what God said to do to be saved. To prove this, let's turn and read Acts 22:16. Ananias, speaking to Saul of Tarsus, says, "And now, why tarriest thou?" In Alabama, we'd say, "What you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you see how Paul was told to call on the name of the Lord by being baptized? You see, if God has told us what to do to be saved, then if we were to ask God to save us, his response has already been given. Do what I've already told you to do to be saved. Does that make sense? And so if we want to ask God to save us from our sins, we ask him by doing what he said to do to be forgiven of our sins. Believe and be baptized, according to Mark 16:16 and many other passages. Countess from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
The question that I had, you just read the verse about believe and be saved. So are you then saying that baptism is a requirement for salvation?
Yeah, that verse I read said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Wouldn't that make both belief and baptism necessary to salvation, Countess?
Well, absolutely. But I guess I've always been told that, I mean, that is certainly a commandment, and it shows our obedience But what if a person isn't baptized? If a person does believe and cannot possibly get baptized for either physical reasons or other reasons?
Well, that's a very good question. Let me ask you this question, Countess. You know, there are some churches like the Catholic Church, and I don't agree with them, but I'm just telling you their thought process. They say they baptize infants. Of course, we really know they just sprinkle them, but they say they baptize infants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so according to their theology, they've been baptized, but they haven't believed. So they have been baptized, but they haven't believed. Are they going to be saved, Countess, according to Mark 16:16, if they've been baptized, say as a little baby, but they've never, ever believed?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Okay. So if a person gets baptized but doesn't believe, they're not going to be saved. What about a person who believes and does not get baptized? Are they going to be saved, Countess?
Well, I guess the Bible also says, if thy will confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thy will be saved. You know, and there may be instances where a person did believe and for some reason, God forbid, might have gone out and passed away and they were never baptized. So does that mean that person has never been saved?
Well, suppose that person believed in Christ, but he passed away before he confessed with his mouth.
Well, I mean, the confession, if he confessed and believed but did not get baptized, so, I mean, does that mean that person would not be saved?
Yeah, I'm getting to that. And I'm asking you.
Yes.
You quoted Romans 10, 9, and 10 that says he has to confess with his mouth and believe to be saved, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, suppose he believed, but he did not confess with his mouth. He never got around to it. He passed away before he did.
Okay.
Would he be saved according to Romans 10, 9, and 10 that says you have to believe and confess with your mouth to be saved?
I would guess not.
Right, because he hadn't done what Christ said.
Absolutely.
No, Countess, no one passage tells us everything we have to do to be saved. For example,
absolutely.
I was quoting Mark 16:16. It doesn't talk about repentance, and neither does Romans 10, 9, and 10. But we all agree, I think you and I agree, a person has to repent of his sins in order to be saved, doesn't he, Countess?
Absolutely, yes.
So you're not going to find everything a person has to do to become a Christian in one verse. What God wants us to do is take all of what the Bible has to say.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, Jesus said when he was being tempted by the devil quoted scripture and Jesus quoted scripture. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's in Matthew chapter 4. So Jesus is saying we have to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to take all of the passages, Countess. Some passages say you got to believe to be saved, John 3:16. Some say you got to believe and be baptized, Mark 16:16. Some say you got to believe and confess, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Some say you got to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 talks about baptism saves us. It doesn't mention anything else. But when you put them all together, you see that a person has to believe. He has to repent. He's got to be baptized to be saved. For example, Countess, in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told him to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. You see that according to that, you have to repent and be baptized to get forgiven of your sins, Countess. Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Countess, what I'd like you to do, I'd like to talk to you further, maybe later in the week. Could you send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com, and let's talk later?
I will definitely do that.
Do that, because I've got another person waiting on the line.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
BibleCrossfire@email.com. Anybody send me an email at that passage, I mean at that email address, and we can talk during the week about the Bible, all week to our heart's content. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Thank you, Countess,
thank
for
you.
Your call.
Okay.
Barrett from Missouri, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi. This is regarding baptism, right?
So far, yeah, that's what we've been talking about the last 5 minutes, yes.
Yeah, and what was the... I'm sorry, I just turned on SiriusXM and I just caught... What was the last part you said regarding being saved and baptism?
Well, I think we were talking about... Countess and myself were talking about Mark 16:16 that says, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we were making the point that not only do you have to believe to be saved, you have to be baptized to be saved.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I agree for those that are able, but what about, like, the man on the cross that was with Jesus? He wasn't baptized, but he went with Jesus to heaven. Or, you know, what about those who don't believe until they're on their deathbed? Or,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, about the thief on the cross, did you know, Barrett, that, and thank you for your call, Barrett, very kind way of talking about the Bible. I appreciate that. Did you know the thief on the cross lived under the Old Testament law, just like Jesus, a law that didn't really command baptism? Let me help you. I'm going to read Hebrews 9:15-17 to you, Barrett, and see if you see the point I'm making. It says, "And for this cause he," and this is talking about Christ, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty here, Barrett. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now, the point that passage is making, Barrett, is the same as I'm one of four brothers, and we were in our parents' will starting probably back in the 1970s, but the will did not go into effect. We didn't receive our inheritance till my last parent passed away in 2001. Yeah. And so what that's saying is, just like a will doesn't go into effect until the death of the testator, it's the same with a New Testament covenant or will. It didn't go into effect until the death of the testator, which is Jesus Christ. So until after the death of the testator, actually, is what it says. And so Jesus, Colossians 2:14-17, nailed the Old Testament law to the cross, meaning when he died, the Old Testament law went out of effect, and then after that death, the New Testament law went into effect. And the New Testament law is the law that required baptism. The thief didn't live under the New Testament law, Barry. He could be saved without baptism the same way Adam could be, Moses, Abraham. You follow what I'm saying, Barrett?
I do. But what about, I just don't, because it's so much to do with the heart. I mean, there's so many that get baptized that don't, that haven't actually put their faith in Christ.
True, that's
and then
true, Barrett.
Then there's those who have received, like I received my salvation, I opened up the Bible when I was at a rough bottom in life at only 18 years old after losing my mother and several other events happening that led me to, that the Lord led me to him. And I wasn't baptized until years later, but I mean, what if I had passed away in between that time or something? I am sure that I inherited salvation, that I put my faith in the Lord. It just seems like, you know, there are some that have given their heart to him but weren't able to be baptized, or, you know, and I wonder about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an illustration, Barrett. In Acts chapter 9, are you familiar with the story of the conversion of Saul, who later became known as Paul?
Absolutely. He's my favorite, yeah.
Okay, so his conversion is recorded for us in Acts 9, 22, and 26. In Acts 9, we're just taking one of them. The Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, told him who he was, and Paul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" So Paul believed on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to Damascus, and he was there 3 days. And then Ananias came to Saul, and in Acts 22:16, he says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So Ananias is telling Saul to do something to get his sins washed away 3 days after Saul believed in Christ. Mm. Now, my point, Barrett, is a person doesn't get the remission of sins when he believes. Actually, that was really the point I began with in this program. He's not saved at the moment he believes. Saul was not saved at the moment he believed. He was 3 days later, he was told to do something to get his sins washed away. 3 days after he believed. And what was he told to do, Barrett, to get his sins washed away?
To be baptized.
Right. Now let me read for you one more passage. In Acts 2, verse 38, the people on the day of Pentecost, they had been guilty of crucifying Christ, in a sense. And so they basically, Peter accused them of that. They believed that. And so they said, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So in other words, we're supposed to be baptized to get our sins forgiven, which means our sins were not forgiven before they were baptized. If they were forgiven before they were a person is baptized, they wouldn't be being baptized for the remission of sins. They already had the remission of sins, but they were told to be baptized to get their sins forgiven. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 38, if you want to look that up later, Barrett.
Okay.
Barrett, would you like to talk about this more, perhaps offline?
No.
I don't mean to be pushy, but if you would, just send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Barrett.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. So,
bye.
Bye-bye. And so we're talking about how that a person is not saved at the moment he believes. And we've just proven that with two or three passages. Saul believed on the road to Damascus, but at least 3 days later, he was still in his sins and was told to get baptized to get his sins washed away. That proves, again, that a person is not saved at the moment he believes. I'm going to just repeat this. If salvation is by faith only, then Saul would have been saved on the road to Damascus when he believed. And this is exactly when Baptists say Saul was saved, on the road to Damascus when he believed. But at least 3 days later, Ananias is telling Saul to do something and get his sins washed away. Again, that proves salvation at the point of faith is simply not true. Now let me look at another passage. By the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The third passage is one that was quoted by Countess early on. Romans 10, 9 and 10 reads this way. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now this is another text that proves salvation is not at the point of faith. According to this passage, we have to also confess Christ in order to be saved with our mouth. And a person can't honestly confess that he believes in Christ unless he believes in Christ first. Therefore, my point is, since salvation has to come after one believes, after he confesses, which comes after he believes, salvation is not by faith only. The 1956 version of the Methodist Creed book reads this way, on this point. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. That's on page 29. That stands in stark contrast to James 2:24, though, which reads, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The Methodist Creed book says we are saved by faith only. And James 2:24 says we're not justified by faith only. We're saved by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now let me ask you this question. Would you feel comfortable belonging to a church whose creed book contradicts the Bible in such a plain and direct way? The Methodist Creed book says we're justified by faith only. And James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The Methodist Creed book directly contradicts what James 2:24 says. Do you want to belong to a church like that? Chris from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Just a couple of comments for you. I've called you once before on this, and I think it's troubling your interpretation of the gospel. A couple of things I wanted to ask you, just so I get it clear from your perspective. When was the thief on the cross baptized?
We don't know. Let me answer the question.
He was not baptized. Okay.
Chris, you don't know that. He could have been baptized before he got up on the cross.
No. Let me explain it to you in a very clear way. God did not inspire the scripture to be written so that it would be evasive for us to misunderstand and try to infer these things. It's very clear. The thief on the cross was saved the moment he believed. It's very clear. It's undoubtedly in scripture. Second point.
Okay.
Second point.
All right, second point. Go ahead. I'm listening.
when Abraham was credited with righteousness, when was he baptized?
Okay.
He wasn't.
So, okay. Thank you, Chris. So I've already dealt with both of Chris's points by reading Hebrews 9:15-17 that says the New Testament law did not go into effect until after the death of the testator. Did not go into effect until after the death of the testator. So Abraham and the thief on the cross lived under the Old Testament law, which didn't require baptism for salvation. They were both dead, long dead and gone by the time Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And Chris talked about scripture being clear. Mark 16:16 is one of the most clear passages in the Bible. There's no mistaking it. Jesus himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that a person has to be baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross and Abraham, they didn't live under the New Testament law. They lived under the Old Testament law. We're not saved like they are. Jesus tells us how to be saved, and he says you've got to believe and you've got to be baptized. And that is crystal clear. Cannot be denied. Acts 2:38, Peter said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So until you get baptized, you don't have the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us. That's crystal clear. And, of course, Chris was teaching that you're saved at the point of faith, but Saul believed on the road to Damascus, according to Acts chapter 9. But 3 days later, Ananias told him to do something, to be baptized, to get his sins washed away. So it's beyond any shadow of a doubt. The scriptures are crystal clear. They cannot be denied that a person has to be baptized to receive the remission of sins. Let's see, we got about 3 minutes left. We'll see if we can take this call. Dave from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just have a question. From my understanding, salvation actually means eternal life. Don't we all have that? Whether we go to heaven or we go to hell, it's still eternal either way.
The Bible really, in effect, calls, if you go to the bad place, calls that eternal death, not eternal life. It talk, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it's in the middle of the context of the judgment day, and Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats. And in the last verse, he says, these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So those who are saved possess eternal life. Those who are lost will receive everlasting punishment. It's not really called life eternal or eternal life in that case, Dave.
Well, I know in Revelations it says that God will be present during the time when those people are sent to the burning fire.
Yes.
In order for God to be present and them to be, he'd have to see them.
Yeah, I think you got the scripture all mixed up, but thank you for your call, David. Now, I want you to consider two more passages that teach we have to trust and obey, that it's not enough just to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So not only do we have to believe, we have to obey Christ to be saved. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it is not enough just to believe in the Lord to be saved. We must also do God's will in order to go to heaven. Obedience is required. That song, Trust and Obey, is right. You have to trust and obey to be pleasing to God. Just accepting Christ as your personal Savior is not enough. Appreciate all the calls. If you want to contact me during the week about the Bible, BibleCrossfire@email.com. We'd love to talk to you. Be sure and listen next week at this same time.